Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Sunday Skate with Scott McLaughlin, Andrew Razor Raycroft, and Bridget Prue on WEEI.
How nice was it to pull this one out against a team that was desperate?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just weren't clean with our execution, a lot of our puck touches, but we raised our compete level, you know, in the second period and on, and when it counted, you know, I thought we really showed a lot of poise in the third period there after the shorthanded goal by them to just get back to our game and ice it. And I think that's obviously something we've been learning over the course of the year. Big change from, you know, a few months ago when we were kind of giving those games away.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. That was Kevin Shattenkirk after the Bruins 6-4 win over the Penguins Saturday night. Talking about, yeah, an area that has been a big improvement for this team over the last month plus, and that is putting teams away in the third period, not just holding on to leads, but extending leads. You know, last night that gets to 4-3 early in the third, and Bruins stem the tide and then add to their lead with Morgan Geekie's goal, 5-3, empty netter, 6-3, game over. That has been a major point of improvement for this team over the last, like I said, probably month or so.
And this just popped back in my head that I kind of had forgotten about, but Jake DeBrusque had an empty net that he missed too, which was another chance to extend the lead after the first empty net goal. Yeah, he just missed it wide. And it would have been a great chance for him to pad his stats a little bit because he got the goal, right? And we'd been talking about how he'd gone pretty cold. And I know it would be an empty net goal, but like when people are just, you know, rattling off his stats, like this many goals in this many games, it would have been a nice little pad, you know, stat pad.
Yeah, it's a freebie. Just a nice freebie to put out there.
He was so mad on the bench.
So annoyed.
Lauko was like consoling him.
Yeah, but DeBrusque had gone 8 games without a goal, 7 games without a point. So getting that goal in the second period to open the scoring was huge for him. And it sounds so simple, but it feels like every time DeBrusque gets into one of these slumps, the key for him is go to the net. Where does he score from? 2 inches above the crease. He tips Andrew Peak's shot. You know, nice pass. That was a pass by Peak, right?
Yeah,
to
it was
stick.
A pass.
So good play by Peak, and DeBrusque gets the tip. I don't know if he got it on the second poke as well. He kept jamming, but regardless, he gets through. It was Nedeljkovic in net at that point. He later got pulled for Tristan Jarry. I thought DeBrusque played well even outside of that. He was active. He was involved, especially through the first half of that game, I would say. Had some good chances. He had a great back check, stealing the puck from Erik Karlsson in the neutral zone at one point. So, yeah, you need that. He got moved back up to the second line with Marchand and Coyle and seems to have had some jump. Let's go to the phones here, and we'll start with Jay in North Carolina to kick us off on hour two of Sunday Skate. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, folks. I sound like a broken record. I enjoy listening to your program because you're always on point and you run a tight ship. I like that. Anyway, I had a couple of points to make. Especially about your milkshake question about execution. I'm really not happy with the Bruins passing. I mean, it ain't preseason. It's coming into the Stanley Cup. and it's not as crisp as the Hurricanes or the Rangers. It could be tightened up greatly. That's their secret to getting out of the defensive zone. That's point one. And point two, there's no guarantee that the Bruins are going to face the Panthers because the Panthers, if the standings stay as they are, the Panthers will face the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have their own version of Reinhardt and Austin Matthews. But the thing is, with the hockey players in the National Hockey League, they ain't no wilting violets. So I will leave you with this, that with the Florida Panthers, Dirty may win games to begin, but it won't win games to end. You can just ask the Vegas Knights about that. Thanks, folks.
All right, thanks, Jay. It should not be assumed at all that it's going to be the Panthers in the second round. I know, especially here, just because of the perception of how we look at those two teams, you know, the Panthers are the big bad boogeyman that beat the Bruins last year. The Maple Leafs are the team the Bruins always beat in the playoffs forever. So, and the Panthers did beat the Maple Leafs last year, so you can't ignore that either. But yeah, as Razor said earlier, the Maple Leafs have been playing good hockey. Like, they are perfectly capable of winning that series. And while I still have questions about their defense and goaltending, like, the Maple Leafs have been a more physical team. Like, they have changed the way they play a bit this season.
And the Bruins have head-to-head played both of those teams pretty well this year. Like, head-to-head this season, yeah. Bruins-Panthers, like...
They swept it.
Yeah, like, and Toronto. Like, those are two matchups that are very difficult. Obviously, those are two really good teams. But the Bruins, like, if we look back at their history this season and try to look past the first-round exit last year with Florida, the matchup didn't look bad for Boston. And that's kind of why the Tampa matchup maybe scares more people, because they didn't have as much success against him in the regular season.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Razor, but like, I don't put a ton of stock into the regular season results. I mean, maybe you could look at, you know, if we're talking about Florida, two games recently that they've played them, maybe something carries over. But Tampa, I don't know, three of those meetings were earlier in the season.
And one the of most them recent the one, back-to-back.
The Bruins are on the second night of a back-to-back. So,
yeah, no stock gets taken. And again, if it was Florida or Toronto, I don't think we'd be saying, well, they won four in the regular season, they're going to win four in the playoffs easily, right? Like, it doesn't really translate, I don't think.
I'm talking about why the conversations we hear on the street between Bruins fans go the way they do about Toronto. And you know,
certainly there's a bit of, you know, and rightly so. I mean, the Bruins have won every playoff series against Toronto, so that's easy to go to that. But it doesn't matter what happened in 2013. Who cares? Like, half these kids weren't even alive then. Like, it's irrelevant, completely irrelevant.
And what do you
to not only other than the fans, right? Other than the guy
remember.
That was sitting in Loge 7 when that mm-hmm. happened, you know, that's when it matters.
They all remember. Yeah. What do you think about the passing point that Jay made?
No, again, it's hard to make passes. So, again, when you continually try and force things, that makes it difficult. So I think that they're one of the better passing teams, I think. But they sometimes force one because they're very good at it, because they want to keep possession the way they do, because the forwards want the puck on their stick the way they do, you can get yourself in a tough situation sometimes.
Yeah, I think the passing, to me, has been more of a concern on the power play, where they've just tried to force some passes that aren't there. Usually it's across the seam and there's too many sticks for it to get through. 5-on-5, through the neutral zone into the offensive zone, I think the Bruins are generally pretty good. The point about the breakouts is fair, and that comes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is you just gotta be more willing to flip it out and go fight. Like, don't, you know, if a clean breakout pass is there, obviously take it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't try to force it. Don't throw it up to your left wing when there's a defenseman right on his back and, you know, think that that's going to be a good result. Like, that's going to be a tough play to win possession and to keep that puck moving. So, you want to take those passes if they're there. But I think that comes back to, like, also being willing to simplify and being in a spot where you don't have to make a perfect pass.
No, exactly. That's it. It's just that it's not the actual physical pass. It's the mentality. It's the hockey sense. It's the read that you get. you know, again, we've seen it a bunch of times where it's like you can go D to D or you can go off the glass or you can go off the boards indirect to your to forward going up the wing. It was just going to chip it into the zone, and then you get forechecking pressure rather than trying to set up D to D cross, you know, through the neutral zone three or four different times over the center line and not really going anywhere. That's dangerous.
All right, let's go to Joe in Ohio here, who I think has a thought on Linus Ullmark. What's up, Joe?
Hi, guys. How are you doing today? I have a couple of opinions before I get to Linus Ullmark. I'm definitely not a fan of the lacrosse goal and never like shootouts, but that's just something that I wanted to get out there. As far as Linus Ullmark goes, he has really impressed me the way he's handled the whole situation with what's going on. I mean, at midseason, he basically was given up on and was going to be traded for other assets. He didn't sulk. He showed professionalism. And right now he's definitely starting game one of the playoffs. And my question to all three of you, I'd like to hear your comments, especially Razor, but Bridget and Scott also, is if they get to like the Eastern Conference Finals and Linus is the reason why, and Swayman, when he gets to play, is just average, what happens in the offseason? Do you keep both of them again for another year? Because Linus does have one more year in his contract. There's no way Swayman is getting his $7.5 million or whatever. I can't see that unless he really gets hot in the playoffs, which would be nice. But anyway, that's my question for today. And good job. You do a good job on your show. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe.
Let Razor answer. He wants question. Razor.
Sure. No, all right. No. Yeah. Let's start with Razor.
Oh, I'd rather hear. I don't need to go first. But, no. That's the million dollar question. That it's
or a, $6 million or $12 million
or the first round draft pick million. You know, question. I think that's too hard to hypotheticalize, if you can
is
say hypotheticalize. I don't know. It just came out. I just continued with it.
Can you look up if that's a word?
It doesn't sound like it is, but it kind of worked. I think there's a lot of different scenarios. I don't know. It's too far away. My sense is you don't have both. I guess is that fair? My sense is there isn't. Both guys
next season.
Yeah,
someone's gone before next season.
That's my sense. But I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I think there'll be more trades in the summer. I think there'll be more action with the cap opening up. There'll be more opportunities.
Nico says it's not a word.
Okay,
he confirmed.
Perfect. Good. Thank you. I got that sense. Thanks for confirming. It's
listen, language is always changing. Okay,
correct. It will be. Next year.
Merriam-Webster adds words to the dictionary.
It will be next year. Now,
do we have to apply to get that in there?
Yeah. So what else? What else was he asking? No, I don't know. It's going to be difficult to have both. I think just the way both of their careers are going and how they want to play. But this playoff will tell a lot. One way or the other on all of that.
Yeah, like if you win the Stanley Cup on the back of Linus Ullmark, you're probably not trading him in the offseason, are you? Like, whereas, you know,
his value's never higher.
We said that last year, though, too. Like, yes, his value is high, but if you really want to continue to have playoff success and Swayman hasn't proven himself.
Well, yeah, and another part of that is, say it, because obviously there's a million different ways this can play out, but say it does play out that specific way where Ullmark's the guy and you're mostly riding him and Swayman has only an okay playoffs when he plays. Well, does he accept is he then open to more of a shorter term deal because maybe he knows, like, I'm not really in a position to ask for 8 years, $7.5 million. Like, you just don't know,
Yeah, that's why I'm like the furthest we can go on this, I feel like, is like probably both of them won't be together because all of the other, like, there's so, it's not just like this rotation circumstance that we like talk through. This one, this question, this is like, it's like on and on and on and on and on. And none of it, we have any idea.
So
it's not
what you're
close.
Saying is for Bruins fans watching this playoff run, this might be the last go around with the goalie hugs this postseason? Might see the end of the goalie hug, at least with this tandem?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, you would think so, but, you know, I guess you have to decide, like, what's that cap number where you're, you know, like, if Swayman comes in at 5.5 or 6 million instead of the 7, 7.5 that, like, people have been saying, is 11 million tied up in goaltending a little more palatable? Like, can you accept that?
And I'll give you one more to really end this so it doesn't make any difference what we say, is that what if no one wants to, if the value isn't to get either one of them and the value is better for you to have both of them, then, like, and if you can't trade them, like, last summer they could have traded them. So if you can't trade them, then you keep both of them. Like, you're not giving them away.
Well,
so
and
Linus Allmark still has the no move clause. He can still block
and
half
you get
the league.
Dollars to dollars, Jeremy Swayman's going to have a bunch of no movement trades in his contract, and no team's going to want to sign him without a contract. Like, the value's more with a contract. Like, there's all it's.
Yeah, you're going to, like,
we'll see.
You'll run into,
like,
the same
let's
issue
do the we see, cause this
with Allmark as you did at the deadline. The teams that were interested in him at the deadline, he didn't want to go to. It's probably hasn't changed.
July 1st, the number, this teams change and everything else changes too. There's all kinds of stipulations.
And I believe there was, it might have been Elliot Freeman or maybe it was Kevin Weeks. Someone had a report that they were talking to a team that wasn't on his list too, and that didn't work out for whatever other reason, because obviously there's a million reasons trades don't ultimately come together. So, yeah, who knows? But that's, you know, this is the game we're going to be playing with the hypotheticals in goal for a while.
Before we get to trending, guys, this has nothing to do with the Bruins, but the big hockey conversation over the last few days is the whole Arizona moving.
Yeah.
That the news coming out that they told players that get ready to go to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Thank God.
Yeah. That,
get them out of that rink.
We can touch on that a little as we go. We do. It felt inevitable to me. The situation in Arizona was untenable. Like, you can't play 4 more years at a college rink or whatever it's going to be. All right. We do have to catch a break, though. We see more phone calls. You can join us. 617.
Maria's here.
779-7937. Bridget has you trending, and then we'll be right.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Right back.
Nonstop Hockey Talk. It's Sunday Skate on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Prue. I'm Scott McLaughlin. Born to Run ahead of Marathon Monday. But every song today has been run themed, if people haven't picked up on it.
Scott puts way too much thought into the intro song.
No, yeah. Actually, I put minimal thought. It's basically word association where I'll be like, okay, here's a theme for the week. So this week there's a marathon, so it's run.
Love it.
I put so much more effort into the outro song. I'm just kidding.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Here we got John and Lynn with a question about playoff rosters. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Love the show. First time caller.
Thank you.
Also love the brew, Andrew, with Razor, with Billy.
Thank you.
Got two kind of general hockey questions, and then I'll listen to you guys answer. One is on roster limits. On the playoffs especially, why these roster limits were made when, fifth and sixth, I'm kind of an old-timer, fifth and sixth defensemen weren't even barely used, and the fourth line wasn't used that much. But now you get one guy go down, especially like the 19 series against St. Louis when they targeted Grizzly, and we had to play shorthanded for, two-thirds of a game twice. Why don't they dress a seventh and a 13th forward? I don't understand. Any other sport, you have guys who can come in and fill in. You need those players. And the second question is, why in the only sport where they change on the fly, do we have benches on the same side that create a long change and weird offsides with guys' skates on the ice? And for 70 years it worked with having benches on the opposite side. Just those questions. I'll let you guys talk.
All right. Thanks, John. Let's start with the rosters. So I guess it's an interesting point because other sports you do have, extra players who don't even get into a game, just hanging around. But in the NHL, there's one, so there's cap reasons, obviously. There's also a physical space issue with how many big NHL players you can actually fit on the bench. You see it in some road games, the visiting bench is not even enough room for the backup goalie. So there's also that reason. I don't know, Razor, I don't know if you have, a different opinion, but I just feel like it's a sport where everyone on the roster you're going to use. And if you have to go down a guy, you can figure it out. For one game, guys shouldn't get too overworked if they have to pick up some extra shifts.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I hate the it is what it is, but it's baseball. You can't have 500 pitchers. You've got a certain amount of pitchers. You have to use them accordingly. Yeah, it's part of the strategy of the game. For hockey, the roster is what it is. You can't have 9 fourth liners that you just each play one shift their maximum strength and go flying around on the ice.
Players would tell you they don't want that.
One side would say that. The other side would love to have an extra 10 guys making NHL money. The PA would love it if you had rosters of 30
people.
But
actual players themselves would rather get a decent amount of ice time than only see 3 minutes because it's split between, extra people.
Oh, yeah.
And in college hockey, it's interesting because you can have an extra skater, either forward or defenseman. So you do have that extra body there. But a lot of college hockey teams opt to go with fewer players in their lineup. I broadcast for several teams this year who only were dressing three lines because they felt it was a disservice to, put other players in the game, not give those players a lot of playing time, dress two or three players that they really weren't even intending on putting in. It's definitely different in college hockey, and also the benches are different in college hockey because there are several college hockey rinks where the benches are on opposite sides.
Well, the benches are for TV.
Right? Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
TV. That's the only reason, but that's why the benches are what they are, and it's strictly for entertainment and television. And
yeah, because what
ease
they...
you don't want. Listen, there's trainers running up and down the halls. You can't have dressing rooms on both sides. It's too problematic. You've got X-ray booths. You got a ton of stuff going on logistically underneath that it doesn't work to have them on the opposite side.
And you see it in college, like there's places where it can create a little too much of a competitive advantage when the one side is close to the penalty box. So their guy gets out of a penalty and just jumps right into the bench next door to change off. And the other team guys to skate across the ice. So there's also that. Let's go to Maria in Watertown, who did make it. Maria finally made it. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. Thank you for being concerned about me, Bridget, but yeah. I was doing domestic related things, unfortunately. I'd much rather be listening to you all and out on the golf course streaming the show right now. Mm-hmm. But
you're on the golf course right now?
No, I wish I was. Oh. I'm regretting not being
pretty
out
nice
there, but I would be streaming you. Yeah, I would be streaming you guys out on the golf course. A win-win for me. I know you guys have talked and ladies have talked ad nauseum about this, but you know, it's one thing for a power play unit to not score, but it's a very different issue when you're giving up shorthanded goal. And, you know, that issue last night with Charlie McAvoy was pretty darn egregious. So, you know, I am worried with regard to that going into the playoffs. The other question I had is, Linus, to me, has made a further case after last night to be named number one starter for game one. However way Monty decides to handle this, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And just I know this is a Bruins show, but I wanted to ask Razor, since you spent so much time in Connecticut covering these games, how bad was the officiating in that BU game? Because
speaking my language,
Maria. Scott has an opinion.
Oh my God! What a freaking embarrassment! Like, if that's the best that the NCAA had to put out in a game like that, then they've got bigger issues than any of us anticipated or suspected. It wasn't why BU lost, but it was just so mockingly and embarrassingly atrocious. And honestly, I think it did service, particularly to the BU players who worked so hard to get to that point. And again, not the reason why they lost, but to have that in a game of that significance, that's pretty egregious in my part. So thanks all for the time. And I hope you all get to a chance to get outside and enjoy this beautiful weather.
Thanks, Maria. Yeah,
this is easily Scott's favorite call of the day.
Yeah,
that's so great.
That's the best call we've ever gotten. rip the refs who screwed over BU. Yeah.
There was a lot of great hockey this weekend, and unfortunately for Scott, his BU Terriers were knocked out by Denver. But they got
justified
they got
a little bit.
They got UMass, they got BU, and then they got BC.
Going to say, Denver single-handedly ruined, like, all of Massachusetts college hockey, just made it a nightmare for everyone.
They knocked out three out of the four Hockey East teams.
Yeah, I mean, I ranted about the refs on Twitter. I did a little on our skate podcast. Yeah, I thought they were awful. I thought the fact that BU didn't get a single power play in that game was mind-boggling. Lane Hutson especially he's about to create a 3-on-2 scoring chance spinning off a defender and he gets tripped and there's no call. And so, you know,
Razor, what were your thoughts on it?
They got in over their heads. The refs did. They got to the point where they hadn't evened it up properly, but they couldn't call any more penalties on anyone because it was a tie game. It was just a calamity. And you could see that they were struggling with every single play on whether to put their hand up or not. It was it was too bad. It was just unfortunately for those guys, it was just kind of too big of a moment, and they couldn't make, they just got paralyzed from making decisions.
What do you think of the championship game, how that was?
Denver played a masterclass all tournament to come in and be the highest scoring team and then win 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-0. Crazy. Didn't see it coming. David Carl did an unbelievable job getting his guys, and they played so connected, and their goaltender was lights out on top of all that. So
that one save
I think, and honestly, I'm not kidding. Like Cutter Gauthier talking the way he did before the game just gave that team such bad karma and bad juice. So any parents listening out there, tell your kids not to talk like that.
Yeah, for anyone who missed it, Cutter Gauthier, BC star, country's leading goal scorer.
Already had been a controversial figure after the Philly stuff.
Yeah, so he'd been drafted by Philly, things had fallen apart in that relationship. He ends up basically forcing a trade to Anaheim, which is where he's presumably going to sign very soon now. But before the game, he gave an interview with the ESPN crew and made a comment that he was asked about facing Denver and said it's going to be an emotional game and said there's going to be a lot of tears from that team. And
he's going to score goals. And
yeah.
It was – look it up and you'll realize that it shouldn't happen in a team sport.
It doesn't sound like any hockey player I've heard speak before a game. No, most people have the common sense to just say, you know, have respect for your opponent rather than anything to use as motivation.
Right. Like that easily gets over to Denver before the game. Like someone, even if, you know, no one's like the coach isn't bringing into them, someone sees it on their phone or something like it gets over there.
And he said it with such a straight face, too, that it was, like, smug. I don't know. It definitely...
And it's college hockey. College hockey. You're representing... Again, I'm kind of old school on this, but if I'm a coach and in college, that's a problem for me. This kid's representing the school, the program, people that I want to join this team and be a part of this, and they talk about culture and growing, and then... college kid says it. It's tough.
It was just an absolute masterclass from Denver, though.
Yeah, it was.
You know, BC ends up throwing 23 shots in net in the third period out of desperation, obviously down 2-0. Denver held them to 12 shots on goal through the first two periods. Like
it was impressive.
You just didn't see anyone do that to BC this year. And David Carl is 34 years old and now has two national titles and a World Junior gold under
his
belt.
Yeah, that's how he... I mean, I feel like that helped his game plan. He knew, like, a lot of those BC kids because he coached them for Team USA.
Yeah, true.
So he kind of had this background info of a game plan to beat those guys because he knew them.
Sure. Jim Montgomery was happy. He's one of the few people around here who would be. Danton Heinen and other Denver alums.
Well, and if not for him leaving, you know, David Carl isn't there. True. Under Jim Montgomery's... high recommendation for him to be there, so that was a good choice.
Yeah,
too.
Carl was on Montgomery's staff when when Montgomery won his national title there in 2017. So, yeah, impressive job by them. Obviously, huge bummer for BC. You're having this dream season. You know, if you finish that off last night, you go down as one of the greatest teams in college hockey history.
Yeah,
and
end up
one win short, and now. Now you're, you know, Michigan a couple years ago that didn't get it done, or Michigan 97 team, is one of those that always gets thrown out as, like, was an all-time great team, but...
That was the goal that we were talking about earlier, right? Wasn't that team?
That was a little before that,
I think.
It was a little
bit before.
Yeah.
But that team got upset by Chris Drury and the BU Terriers in the Frozen Four. They won two national titles around that, though. So I think, you know, all the Michigan people were doing okay in the 90s.
They were
got a text that said, Flyers fan here in Rhode Island, sorry for BC, but for Gauthier, couldn't have happened to a better idiot. That's not nice, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's a bit harsh. And, you know, I think I defended Gauthier through most of the Flyers. Like, I don't know if. If things aren't working and you don't want to go somewhere, like, yeah, maybe he should have talked to them when they went over to World Juniors or whatever. But if you don't want to be somewhere, like, you don't have to accept it. You know, like, you can get moved.
Yeah, but I think that when you already had the narrative out in public, and people are trying to decide who was right and who was wrong in that situation, and then you go out and you say something like this, you kind of make your case.
Yeah, this I can't defend. Even me, who, you know, started the show saying I like some showmanship, that pregame, not really what you want to be doing.
Not ideal.
All right, let's circle back to the Bruins here.
I'm glad we did talk some college hockey, though, because it's a big week for people who like college hockey.
Absolutely. And could have been
huge.
For so much of the season was shaping up to be like a historic season for Boston teams, where BC and BU are 1-2 all year. And
just again, think, Scott, if UMass had beat Denver, it would have been UMass beat you potentially, and
useless UMass.
Yeah. Get out of here. You should have been rooting for UMass, is what I was trying to say.
All right. So resetting on the Bruins, had a big 6-4 win over the Penguins Saturday night. Two games to go in the regular season. What do you guys want to see? What do you need to see? Is there anything in these two games that makes you feel better going into the playoffs, or at this point is it just let's just get there and kind of whatever happens these two games, not a big deal?
Yeah, for me, I just don't get hurt. Everything else is completely irrelevant to me. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's get to Saturday. Let's start talking about matchups and who they're playing, and get the 2 points, win the division, and don't get hurt. If they win both games 6-5 or 1-0, it's irrelevant to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's anything I need to see before the end of the regular season. There's some things I'm curious about. I'm curious about the usage of Van Riemsdyk now that he found his way back outside the forward group and is presumably healthy scratch again. So I'm wondering what his role will be in the last two games, because I think it might give us insight into what his role might be in the playoffs. If he's outside, to start the first round, he might be. That's where he found himself against Pittsburgh. And I also just want to see a larger sample size of Pat Maroon and kind of see him ramp up his involvement, including physically.
Yeah, I think
it's not an issue. We know it's not going to be an issue, but I just want to see it.
Yeah, I think Maroon continuing to build his game, who plays on defense, and does anyone have a great game and someone else struggles, or does everything kind of stay fairly even there? I do think you have to figure out who rounds out your third line, because there's still a lot of moving guys in and out there. Last night they start the game with Johnny Beecher next to Geeky and Frederick, and then they change to Jacob Lauko as the game goes on, and Lauko ends up helping to set up that goal for Geeky that puts them up 5-3 on a good play. So like, that's an area. And then obviously, as we've touched on, the power play, like, yes, it's possible they do what they did last year and struggle to the end and then turn it on game one. I would like to see a little more before then. Like, I would like to see some sort of positive momentum.
Can I add an off the ice one?
Sure.
I want another update on Justin Brezzo. Are we allowed to ask Montgomery yet?
No, he said don't ask him.
He said
this
don't.
One.
Okay.
and obviously we obey everything Jim Montgomery tells us.
No, I think that's not how journalism works in my recollection of it. But I think it's worth asking him again, because we're almost at the playoffs.
What about a Derek Forbert update?
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that yet. But yeah, Derek Forbert did practice this week in a red no contact jersey, but nonetheless he was out there for a full team practice, and
unexpectedly.
Montgomery says he's still a ways away, and I don't have any reason to doubt that, but listen, if you're out there practicing, you're building towards something. Like, you're not accepting that your season's over. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. All right, we got to catch our last commercial break here. I do want to touch on potential matchup, because we might not get a chance to do a preview show. That we might already be through
game one
when we log on next week.
We will.
Yeah.
I do want to touch on that. We'll be right back after this.
This is Sunday Skate on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate. Final segment here. Scott McLaughlin with Andrew Raycroft and Bridget Crew. Guys, I do want to look ahead. We know the Lightning are the most likely first-round opponent. Nothing locked in. Could still end up being Toronto. in theory, could even still get to the one seed. As
could be
that seems very
Washington,
unlikely,
Pittsburgh, Detroit, right?
Right. So in 5 minutes, we're going to preview all of them. No.
No time, but we're going to go through all.
No. Let's focus on the Lightning.
Yeah,
because that is the most likely one. Just what would you guys' early thoughts be on that series, Bruins' chances, what you'd be looking for?
I would be. I'll give the Tampa Bay concerns first line, of course. Top point scorer in the world, Kucherov, Braden Point, Anthony Duclair has come over and played really well, filled in that line really good. And Andre Vasilevsky did not have his best season, had back surgery at the start of the year, worked into it, but he could go 0-for, you know, he could pitch four donuts here at the start of the series just because he's one of the best. And then the power play. So any of their, it's deadly. And as good as your PK has been, it could change games. So those are the concerns. The positives are they're not as deep as they have been in years past when they've won. Their defense, they've spread out between Hedman, Dumba, and Chernik are all on separate lines. So they have three young guys with them, which is beneficial, I think, for the Bruins. So either way, any way you slice it, it's going to be a tough first round. But Tampa Bay is kind of at their worst they've been in the last 7 years, I guess.
Yeah, you pretty much touched on everything with the amount of time that we have. That was a good summary.
It was a quick synopsis.
It was good.
As quick as I could
do. You guys get the sense again that if the Bruins make it out of the first round, like it's a much easier path for them? Because for some reason I keep getting stuck up on, like, I just don't know if they beat this Tampa team in the first round. But then once they get through it and say they play Toronto and they're kind of rolling and they kind of find their footing, then I like their chances a lot better. But for some reason, I'm hung up on this matchup with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup because the Lightning have been hot and they do have the number one power play in the NHL. So to me, that's the key. Keep the series 5-on-5 as much as possible because the Lightning's power play is just lethal. And yes, the Bruins have a really good penalty kill. It's gotten back on track over the last month, but you don't want to test it too much. The Bruins have taken a lot of penalties this year, fourth most minors in the NHL. You have to be disciplined. You cannot give the Lightning four power plays a game. Like, that's, you're just going to be asking for it.
And even if you're not allowing goals on those are momentum killers. Like, yeah. the way that they run their power play just wears you down, and they take a lot of the momentum from those, even if they don't score.
And 5-on-5, I'm going to just give you guys a number. The Bruins rank third in the NHL in 5-on-5 goal differential, plus 40. Want to guess where the Lightning rank?
I know.
Go ahead.
25th.
Oh, wow.
They are a minus 20 at 5-on-5 this season.
Of any of the teams playing in the playoffs, they're by far the worst.
Yep.
Not even close.
So keep it 5-on-5. Good key. There you go.
Yeah, they've been banged up on defense. Their defense has not been the same. Their third and fourth lines have not been the same. Even some of their top guys have been. Look up Steven Stamkos' 5-on-5 numbers this year. Not good. Mm-hmm. He's scoring a lot on the power play, which is why his overall statistics still look very good. But yeah, you can expose that team 5-on-5. You just have to keep it there because, again, you give them power plays, they're going to hang around. They're gonna score. So. That's the key. That'll do it for us this week on Sunday Skate. Christian Arcand coming up. Red Sox baseball at 1:30.
Once again, I'm going to try to not acknowledge my song choice at the end.
What do we got here?
This is Taylor Swift, Midnights, because her next album's coming out this week.
That's
so
true.
I
there
had
is
to give
big,
a little nod.
Yeah, huge week for the whole
God
world.
God forbid we
for
just heard Swift about that, because I won't hear a million stories about it over the next
Well,
few
you know
days.
What's going to happen next week, which will be probably a reaction show to the first playoff game. Scott's going to have all the intros as all the new Taylor Swift songs, probably. He is a Swiftie, so.
I don't know if I'm a Swift. I like Taylor Swift. I don't know if I'm a Swiftie.
He has a lot of opinions about it, so that counts.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so next week, game one reaction and Taylor Swift new album reaction. That's what
yeah.
Oh,
God.
We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best.
best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.